welcome to the Points to Podiums podcast. I'm Lori Hemmett.
I'm Nolan Hemmett.
And I'm Callan Nealon.
Hey, welcome back, Callan. Once again.
Back again. Second week in a row. Feels good.
I know. It's a streak.
Yes. We're in a new layer.
We are in a different place.
Layer. I don't know if you can tell by the audio quality, but it's jumped up a bit. We're moving up in the rankings here.
We're moving up.
This is a podium win for us.
Yes, absolutely. Good point. Now we're in the points. Now we're up in the podium.
Yep. Exactly. It's in the name.
Yep. We predicted this. So
another year Formula One gone just like that. I can't believe it. The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix sees Max Verstappen atop another podium this year with his 15th win in 2022. We say goodbye to Sebastian Vettel, as Abu Dhabi was the last time the German veteran will be in an F1 car, and an amazing 15 years. His 15th year, he concludes with points to finish in Abu Dhabi. Another great race in Abu Dhabi, and we'll break that down and then look back on some of our favorite moments of the year. So let's get started.
Yeah, the biggest headline here was Max Verstappen gets his 15th Grand Prix win in 2022, the most wins in a season by a driver ever. He did, he made that. The previous record was held jointly by Sebastian Vettel and Michael Schumacher of 13, but you know, this is Red Bull's best season ever. They're the most dominant they've ever been, and just like that, you know, Max Verstappen, the Wunderkind, they get the top.
The Wunderkind.
Well, he's not German, that's what they called Sebastian Vettel. But yeah, incredible year for Max Verstappen and that Red Bull team. It's just, yeah, I mean, in Brazil, they get their balls kicked a little bit. And then, I predicted Lewis Hamilton to win just because of the momentum coming into Abu Dhabi that the Mercs had. But clearly not. They just said, okay, we're just going to give Mercedes a nice consolation prize at the end just to, I don't know, thank them for the competition. But that'll be it, I guess.
Yeah, Red Bull started strong and ended strong, and there's no doubt about that. We saw history in the making. I don't know. Will we ever see a driver like Max Verstappen?
I mean,
will he top himself next year?
You would think he can.
I know,
but yeah, that last race was really just kind of a reflection of the whole year so far, just Red Bull dominance.
Mm-hmm.
Max at the top once again. He was there pretty much at the front the entire race, too.
Right.
So what we got used to this year, Red Bull was super dominant, but you would hope that there's a lot more variety in the standings next year, but you never know.
You know, we were treated last year to this awesome two-way fight with Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, but this is, you know, typically how Formula One works.
Right.
You know, one team gets ahead and technically, and they're able to just dominate throughout the field. I mean, obviously, this is a little more dramatic, or not dramatic, but a little more heightened than years prior, but you know, the competition was pretty crushed throughout this year, especially since you throw in a little Ferrari humiliation, some Ferrari.
They started off. Remember how much we loved Ferrari? We talked and talked and talked.
I mean,
I predicted
after Australia that Charles Leclerc was going to run away with this and start to get a grasp on the championship. But the second I say that, you know, the Red Bulls, they were like, okay, it's time to not play around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to just win after win after win. So.
Right. Yeah.
And you really thought that we were going to get that Lewis and Max battle, but with Charles and Max this year after the start of the season. And it just all fell apart as time went on. Max kept rising in the standings and Ferrari just kind of plateaued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we got the P2 battle.
We got the
Sergio and Charles Leclerc P2 battle, which isn't as exciting, but you know, we'll take it.
Well, I think it's still pretty exciting because it still doesn't include Mercedes, which I think was pretty interesting.
I think just after last year, especially being like one of the first years that I watched Formula One like the entire season long, I was a little spoiled with how exciting the championship fight was. I mean, literally the last race.
Whoever
beats the others, like that's entertaining.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. So,
yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
We had a totally different Abu Dhabi Grand Prix this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody, Nicholas Latifi, you can always bank on him crashing. But that's what happened this time.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Goodbye. See you later. We won't miss you. I'm sorry.
Sorry, man.
They were talking about at the end of the race, all the drivers who were probably done or like were moving, like Daniel Ricciardo and Seb, and they're like, and Latifi racing for probably the last time. It was just like, didn't give him any like sense of hope.
For right. So. Well, that poor guy, I tell you what, he struggled. He just absolutely struggled. Hmm. But
Sergio Perez, he gets P2 or P3 in the driver's championship behind Charles Leclerc. He almost had a little late charge there at the end, but just Charles Leclerc had the pace better than him and a little bit better on those hards than Sergio Perez was. But good tire management from Charles Leclerc. Usually that's Checo's job to do that kind of stuff. But you know, solid year for both the teams. And I you know what, Charles Leclerc, good job. You know,
yeah,
that's actually a pretty big accomplishment for Charles Leclerc to get P2 in the championship. So right on, man. Good for you. It was a good race for both of those guys, and
you know, if Checo could have had like three more laps or just like a few more laps, like he had the pace at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because his tires was a lot newer than Charles Leclerc's, but
it wasn't quite enough. Yeah,
not quite enough.
It'll be interesting to see what happens between Checo and Verstappen next year, because there seems to be, and maybe it's all invented and it's just media hype, but there does seem to be a fire in Checo right now that he wants to come out and prove himself as the better driver, or at least, you know, not the second driver. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
that'll be something that I'm watching
right
away. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Daniel Ricciardo signed this morning.
Yeah.
Third driver.
That's interesting.
So, you know, if one of those two have a little accident or they're sick or something, then
I really hope we get to see Danny Rick in a Red Bull.
That'd be cool?
Grand Prix weekend next year. That'd be so fun.
I'm just glad he's still in the mix a little bit, because he is a really great personality.
We'll probably see him in like a practice session here or there,
right,
or a testing maybe.
Mm-hmm. We'll see him at some point, and I'm sure he'll be at some of the race weekends, obviously not all of them, he said. Mm-hmm. but he'll be there, so we'll see his face and
he'll be
hopefully
around.
We're blessed with him in an actual race. We'll see.
I can't wait,
especially in that car.
He has to be in Austin. I hope he gets to go to Austin, because that's his favorite place
in
the world, right?
I'm sure he will.
He's gonna be a great analyst.
Yeah.
Whatever if he comes back into an F1 car, or if this is his last time, I hope not, but he'll come back, I'm sure of it. But when he's retired after that, I hope when he comes back as an analyst, he'll be awesome. Oh.
Yeah. He'll be fun to listen to. He's so charismatic. Well, speaking of charismatic, we lost a little bit of love from Lewis Hamilton this race. What happened there? Holy Moses.
Well, hydraulic issue was first technical issue for Mercedes. A little concerning.
Yeah.
A little concerning, because their car's been built of, I don't know, vibranium this whole year. And it's been awesome. But I don't know if it's like the damage maybe from the floor when he got rocketed into the air by the rumble strips, when he basically cut the corner from Carlos Sainz and then was able to get the position back. But yeah, I mean, it's just tough luck for Hamilton and Mercedes. You know, he gets, what is it, like P5 or something in the P6 in the Drivers' Championship?
Not his year. No, this was not his year. That's surprising. That was the one that was surprising to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lewis Hamilton, so of course it is. But I think you could tell even at the beginning of the year, all the issues they were having with the porpoising and the pace, the pace just wasn't there. And the fact that the Red Bull and the Ferrari have both been like rocket ships this year, honestly.
And I remember, what was the race where, was it Miami, when Lewis Hamilton comes out of his car and his back is like killing him?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
That was brutal. Was that Miami? I think it was Miami.
I think it was Miami. It was in the beginning of
the
year.
It was one of the flatter, like straight, Saudi or Miami or one of those.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one.
I forgot he was having such pain.
But the back issue, and then he had to go, rough.
How could you not when your car is bouncing all over
the place? Oh, I know. He was struggling.
At the helmet cam, that had like,
like,
how do you even know when your breaking point is when your helmet is bouncing up and down?
Yeah, that was hard. It was Mercedes just had a really weird year this year. I mean, there was a few highlights, of course, but I don't know. That it was interesting to see how they went from that battle last year to this year, where they really just never did anything until at the very end, George Russell's win in where were we? Brazil?
Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a little bit of love from Lewis in the last few races where he was, you know, up in the paces. But really, it's just been really interesting to not be talking about Mercedes the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Lewis Hamilton is the first time he hasn't won in his career in a season yet. So
that, I didn't even think about that.
Sign, but I mean, he signed a 3-year contract earlier this year, so he'll be back again in that car, and you know, it's Lewis Hamilton. He'll be competitive. Yeah. So.
I might be wrong, but I thought he signed like 4 or 5 years.
Did he?
I think so. So he's like really.
He's all in.
He's ready to go.
Yeah. We're obviously he's not going to give up, but this was a really quiet year for him. And I don't know, it felt weird from the beginning. I'm not going to lie. And I talked about that in our podcast earlier, just how it was weird to not have Lewis Hamilton on the mic all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just in the spotlight. And he seemed like he was always kind of in the back, just chilling and, I don't know, waiting to see what was going to happen.
You could tell he was kind of like bummed at the beginning of the year with how the car was going. And he was, I mean, he's always like at the end, like, you know, just keep going, guys. We got this. Thanks to the team. Like, he tries to stay optimistic. Mm-hmm. But you could tell, like, in his demeanor that he was definitely pretty bummed with how the season was starting. And how could you not be when you're used to being the number one guy?
Or in Saudi Arabia when he gets knocked out of Q1.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yes.
I mean, hasn't happened to him since his rookie year, I think. So
that was like, Mercedes, what are we doing this year?
It's just the porpoising was still hard to feel. I mean, they were the only team that was really struggling with that porpoising effect. I mean, everyone was, but it was pretty clear that
it was
Mercedes
really obvious in those cars.
Really rough. I don't know if it was just that their crazy side pod design that they came out with in the second testing session, but I don't know. But they were able to, I mean, every team was able to figure out by midpoint of the season. So. But yeah, it's just an interesting year for Mercedes and Toto Wolff. So, but I mean, it's Mercedes. They'll be back next year.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to compete.
And they'll probably come back stronger.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're learning a lot from this year. And they've got some studs on that team. So.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be just fine.
They'll be fine.
In other news, Sebastian Vettel, driver of the day.
Yay.
Woo!
Oh, man. Who called it?
Shed a tear.
Yes, we'll give you credit, Callan. Callan called that.
That was an easy prediction, but still, it was correct. So I'll take it.
Yep, it was a good one. We will miss Sebastian. It'll be interesting to see what he does next. I really hope he goes into, I talked about it last week, but I hope
he'll
he encourages the women racing.
He'll be back.
Did you see the new program that they're doing for the women? Did either of you guys see that?
No.
Oh, maybe.
They started this new academy through F1, and they're trying to start female drivers like young, like they should, you know? And they didn't release a lot of details, but it's just like, it just talks about how like this is their path to Formula 3, Formula 2, Formula 1.
Sweet. That's
awesome.
And
the women's league. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see at least something with that in the next few years. And hopefully we get some big names like Seb, you know, involved in that.
Right.
But that's super exciting.
It is super exciting.
Talked about that too.
I think Mika Häkkinen has a daughter. Do you remember Mika Häkkinen, the flying Finn?
Oh, yeah.
In the 2009 for McLaren against Michael Schumacher. I think he has a daughter that's karting right now.
Oh,
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure his daughter is kind of a stud right now in the karting scene. So I don't know.
It'll be neat. I'm excited to see if that goes anywhere, and it'll be fun to see who steps up.
Yeah.
Danny Ric, we already kind of talked about Danny Ric going into the Red Bull car as the third driver. It'll be fun to see where he lands or what races he gets into. He is such a personality. We will miss him on the daily, but he'll be around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sebastian,
he's got to be back. Sebastian Vettel,
I know.
Right. Like, he'll be back for Audi.
But
when Audi joins,
when they add the teams.
And they buy out for Sauber.
Do you really think so?
He'll come back.
Oh, interesting.
Welcome back. That's what Lewis Hamilton said.
I don't think so unless I see it with my own eyes, but of course I want him to.
Yeah, that'll be it would be great. How old is Seb? Yeah,
Seb's 37.
He's 37?
I think
so. When do the new ads
still keep going for a few years?
I think he will too. Yeah, you might be right. When will Audi add?
2026.
Oh, okay. Whoa, that's a little ways away. He'll
be
40.
Like 40, 41.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. I know.
I mean,
well, that's how Lewis, because how old is Lewis?
40.
And he just signed 39. A 5-year.
And is he 39 or 38?
I think he's like
Fernando's 40. And he has a 2-year deal with Aston Martin for next year.
I mean, age really isn't a factor, except it's hard on your body. That's the only thing.
Right.
But I can't know why it wouldn't be any harder on your body than football or basketball. So those guys play forever, it seems like now. So
some of them people do. People like Tom Brady, LeBron James playing into their 40s.
You
think that someone can still...
drive.
And they're just driving cars. So
they're
what's
just
the big deal?
Yeah, what's the big deal? It's not really a sport anyway. No. Just kidding. I am going to say that the only reason why I will miss Nicholas Latifi is just to be able to predict that he will always have an accident or fall into the
He really just last... shakes things up for the Grand Prix, doesn't he?
You can almost always count on like, a safety car in half the races because of Latifi himself.
I know. So it'll be interesting to see, okay, who's going to be that guy next year, right? Like, because there's always going to be that guy, let's be honest.
I'm glad he's gone.
Oh,
me too.
He was brutal to watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sargeant can do better than that.
I hope so too.
Jesus. I mean, the bar was already set pretty low.
Yeah. But a lot of new faces coming in.
I know. It'll be interesting to see all this shift and change. It's going to be weird to see some people in different colors. I don't know.
We can talk about
really exciting.
The driver lineup for next year, I guess.
Yeah. Well, let's first of all talk about Mick. What's going on? Where will he be? Mm-hmm. What will happen?
Great question.
We just don't know, do we?
Great question.
Ay, 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 Mick Schumacher. Hey, just because your dad's good doesn't mean you are.
Saw Tom Clarkson with the F1 Beyond the Grid. He just released an episode with Gunther Steiner, and he asked him that question. And I think Gunther Steiner said along the lines of, he's young, but he's growing with the team at a rate that isn't sufficient to what we need him to be.
Like, well, right.
He's growing very slowly, and we need, basically, he just said, we need a driver that is going to be consistently
in the mix.
Yeah, in the mix and not crash the car.
Right.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing with him. I mean, I think it's almost like he's trying too hard and then he doesn't make good decisions or he can't react. I mean, his reaction time isn't fast enough or something.
There were multiple times. I mean, he totally wrecked his car twice.
Yeah.
One in Monaco and one in.
Oh, the expense of that. Oh, my God. I can't imagine how much that cost.
The other one. Mm-hmm. And then he crashed in the back of Seb in Miami. A couple others. I mean, he's had. His only real highlight was that Austria Grand Prix when he got eighth, and then he got eighth again or seventh or in Silverstone.
I know, we were so excited.
Those were his first points,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the Haas both of them look good. I mean, they both got points, so it's not as like Kevin Magnussen was bad and then Mick was good. They both were good, so
yeah,
right.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
I was gonna say, we were talking last time that there was some momentum to him going to Mercedes as the reserve driver, but I don't know if there's any more news about that. So
I have no idea.
I don't know if that'd be, would he be a great backup, though, for those two? They're both so solid. I don't know that he can keep the pace, you know? I mean, he'd be a person in a car that can drive it, I suppose, but I don't know that he's got the qualities of talent that both Russell and...
He's not like a Daniel Ricciardo backup driver.
Right.
Type of.
I mean, Daniel Ricciardo's a solid driver, you know?
Of course.
That's interesting. And
I'm kind of surprised Mick that Haas
can drive. He just hasn't proved himself yet.
Kind of surprised Haas just didn't pick up Daniel Ric for like a 2-year deal.
I know.
Because, I mean, Hülkenberg has been out of the sport for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been the backup for Renault, and then he was backup for Aston Martin for the 2 years that he was out. So, I don't know.
I wonder how much of that was. Did Danny Ric like for sure? Like they might have offered him something, or
maybe
been pretty serious in talks with him. And I think like a part of him was ready for somewhat of a break, not to be completely gone from the sport. Obviously, he's still here, but I think he reached that point where he's like, okay, maybe I'll take this year, figure things out a little bit.
I think you're right.
That's what Alex Albon did.
Yep, I think he just needed a. Yeah. Maybe just a mental break from all of it. Yeah. Seemed like he was getting in his head a little bit, his own head, and maybe he just needs to step away. And
right.
Totally which fair. Happens. What's that called? What's that called when people, it'll come to me. Like the willies or when they get.
The yips?
The yips. I knew it wasn't that, but, he's got a little bit of that right now. Possibly.
I don't really know. I mean, the door's wide open for whatever he can. I mean, it's actually, for next year, if he wanted to come back the following year, I'm not really sure where he could slot in.
Is there any contracts that end next year?
Good question. I don't know.
But
I'll have to look into that.
You guys will have to do your research on that.
You never know if someone gets gets canned.
Yeah, right. I know.
And Joe will be up by then. Mm-hmm. So unless Joe really does something terrible.
Yeah.
Valtteri Bottas and Daniel Ricciardo pairing.
Oh, that would be an
interesting... But Joe actually has impressed me this year. So I haven't, he should be able to continue that form.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about Valtteri and Danny Ric as a pair. That'd be so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Those
talk
are
about
two personalities.
Right I was going to say, talk about two hard personalities, not ego, really.
No.
Just
so many memes.
So different.
Many memes. So many memes out of those two drivers. So
that
many
would be
memes.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. That would be actually pretty funny. He can, Valtteri can sell his coffee and eat his mash or whatever it is that he does. And I don't know, Danny Ric can just be Danny Ric. It'll be hilarious. Well, that's something to dream about. We'll have to think, we'll revisit that in New York. Well, let's talk about the results. Max Verstappen by a lot, right? He was, he just dominated that race.
Yeah, not much
he
other.
Yeah.
Started in the lead, never lost it, and
took off.
Just took off, and there was so much space. What was this? What was the time differential?
The gap was like, I don't know, 7 seconds.
I know. It's crazy. God dang, that was a nutty race. I mean, the stuff going on behind him was pretty good. It's just that everything was behind him. He didn't have anything to worry about.
That's how it's been all year, really.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And then Charles and Sergio and Carlos. So again, it was Red Bull Ferrari, Red Bull Ferrari, just right there. And then George.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lando did good.
Yeah, he got six. And he got fastest lap.
Yeah.
That's like their fifth fastest lap this year.
I know. So, I mean, can't count out McLaren necessarily.
And they got a podium.
I know.
In Imola.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So that
good for
good.
Norris. Be interesting to see what Piastri can do in that second McLaren seat.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look at Danny Ricciardo coming in ninth. You know, in
points.
His final race as a McLaren driver and as a full-time driver. And
I don't know if you saw the onboards of the, like, the cool-down lap, but, like, the engine mode or, like, the mode that they put him in would, like, put a little, like, picture of them on the screen.
Oh, I didn't
see. On their
see.
Little screen. Uh-huh. It was, like, Daniel go to, like, engine mode E3 or, like, E4, right. And then it was, like, a picture of the 1-2 in Monza last year.
Oh, cool.
And then they did the same thing for Sebastian Vettel for the podium in Baku
right.
last year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh,
yeah, that was
neat.
Sad, but
yeah, that hit me right there. Man.
I know.
I was like,
I sent you that, and I was like crying.
Yeah. And then when Sebi did the donuts,
the donuts were cool. I did love that.
That hit me right in the
and
field.
It was Seb and Max and Checo,
and Charles was there too.
And Charles did it too. So it was the three podium drivers, and then
Seb just did it because he's Seb.
Yep.
Yeah,
I love
course,
it.
Of course,
yeah.
That was a pretty cool finish. I really enjoyed that. Well, the DNFs, again, bummer to see Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso in his final race as a Alpine driver DNF, but there's Nicholas Latifi down there in the little DNF zone.
Nothing surprising there.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Bye, Latifi. You're not going to be missed, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry,
what
dude.
A funny thing. I don't know. We're going to miss that a little bit because that's always a pretty good joke for us, but... let's take a look at the season results. Max, Charles, Sergio. And the drama that we thought maybe would play out because of that Brazil race didn't play out at all.
Nope. The points wouldn't have helped him.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah, Charles had the pace, so there wasn't a lot. We talked about at the end, Checo on those fresher tires. You know, he had a chance with a few more laps to get there, but overall strategy and pace played into Ferrari's hand, and Charles was able to get second, which is a big deal for him and for Ferrari. So
it really is a big deal. I mean, I think Charles just had a great year all around, and so I'm really glad that he was able to, place like this because he's raced hard all year. He's made some really dumb decisions, let's be honest. He's done some stupid
stuff. The strategy has been questionable.
Yes, but he overcame a lot of adversity to
get second,
all
those factors that are really against him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yes, I mean, good job for Charles Leclerc.
Yep.
I know he'll be wanting more than that, but, you know, you're going against Max Verstappen.
I know.
So how much more can you ask?
And they're like childhood, like, rivals, aren't they? Didn't they?
Yeah, the famous meme. It was just an incident.
That's right. That's right.
Max, what was going on with that incident with Charles? It was unfair. It's totally unfair. He threw me off the track. And then he goes up to Charles. I was just an incident. It's just an incident.
How old were they? Like 15 or something?
Nothing has changed. Zero. Nothing has changed.
Max whining like a baby and Charles just being like, whatever. Deal with it. Yep. It'll be really fun to see what happens with Sergio next year. I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of on the Sergio train right now just because I don't know.
I always am.
I know.
Mm-hmm. But he's especially great. Next year. Yep. He's going to be pushing that car.
I think he is. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to kind of let him.
Right. And I just wonder like... where the truth is and where the feelings actually are in that Red Bull garage, because
I'm sure they're fine.
That's what I think too. I think people are blowing it a little out of proportion, which for entertainment, of course, but I think they're fine. But we'll see.
I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of animosity just because both of them are competitors and they want to win, right? Like they don't want to be second to each other.
Well, this just could be another Daniel Ricciardo situation where, you know, Daniel Ricciardo thought he was the better driver and you know, he was leading he wins in Monaco, and Max Verstappen doesn't like that, and you know, this is the battle that they had into Baku when they crash into one another.
I was gonna say, like, their relationship might be fine, but regardless, like, does Checo really want to be go into a fresh year just knowing that he's the second driver again?
He's
gonna be wanting to push himself for sure, so
yeah,
whether it's personal or not, he's gonna be driving hard.
Yep. It'll be interesting to watch. I'm also very, very, very interested in seeing what happens with George Russell next year, because I think he came on really, really strong, obviously, at the end of the season. And I think he's just smooth when he drives. I like watching him drive.
The torpedo.
He is. He's a different style of driver. And there's something sleek about him that I really like. I'll be interested to see how he's not rugged as a driver like Max and
later
Sergio.
Later in the season he was a little rugged.
He was hitting them a little bit. Yeah,
you know, if Mercedes comes back as strong as we all know they are going to next year, I mean, he's going to be right up there in the mix.
Absolutely.
he was beating Lewis in the same car this year, and he just won in Brazil. Like, it's going to take a lot to stop them. You know, it's going to be hopefully a tight race between three or four teams up there at the front, but at least the three, Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes.
Yep.
We'll see, though.
Oh, it'll be exciting. So Red Bull came ahead in the Constructors with 759 points, and then Ferrari not close behind with 554. But then Mercedes eked in at 515. So, I mean, those two, that competition was pretty good all year. But Red Bull, boy, once they came on, it was no stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Alpine beats McLaren. Coming in fourth in the constructor. Did you guys predict that at the start?
No, I didn't.
They
were battling for most of the year, but after, like, what was it, like Singapore or so, and McLaren really had a good advantage, but then Alpine just, I don't know, found another piston in their engine, and they were able to take off. So, yeah, good job for the Alpine team for sure.
That Alpine team is changing a lot. We'll see what all the 100% French team can do next year with my boy Pierre.
Yeah, very exciting.
Whoop, whoop.
You know, after Bahrain, I was a little worried for McLaren, but.
Yeah, I know.
They ended up, and then a few weeks later, Lando gets a podium. So roller coaster of a season for them.
It kind of was. McLaren was all over the map. But I think that has a lot to do with, you know, Daniel Ricciardo's kind of, I don't know, whatever it was that was going on with him this year, it didn't help them at all.
Well, you just wonder, like, with the start of the season the way it was, you wonder, like, how much blame got put on him for no reason and just how much that affected his mental.
Exactly. You know? I agree with you.
So
I think there was definitely something going on. And then, of course, poor Williams lands 8 points to Red Bull's 759. Like, what in God's name?
They scored points. I mean, the constructors scored points this year.
Yep.
And, you know, looking forward to next year, they'll hopefully have a little better car than this year. Their car was a lot better than there was last year. But it's just the way that the new regulations worked that people were able to get the jump technically on them. But, you know, there's a shift. There's already a shift that's happening at Williams. There's new owners. There's a new, you know, friends. Yas Capito is a really great team principal. He used to be the head of I can't remember what rally team it was in the World Rally Championship, but, you know, that guy knows how to win races, and that's the guy that you want to have the control of that Williams team, who's, you know, been a slump. But this is a historically proud team in F1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've enjoyed dominance and all throughout the 80s with Nigel Mansell and then, you know, Alain Prost as well. So
It'll be interesting to see if they can come back. Yep.
But, you know, hopefully we can get a little bit more from them. You know, you don't expect them to make a jump into like third for the next year, but, you know, I want them to see, I want to see more progress from Williams for sure. Cause that gap needs to be slowed down, especially with the cost cap and all the advantages mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. have to that we've given to these smaller teams. That, come on, Williams, get there,
get out there.
Come on.
Disappointing, turnout by AlphaTauri, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they take a huge step backwards.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that was a great finish for them.
There's rumors of them breaking away from the Red Bull family.
Really?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Who would they go with?
Find, I don't know.
Their own, huh?
They would, I don't know, somebody would have buy them out or something mm-hmm. like that. But, I mean, AlphaTauri and Alfa Romeo are the two ones that are Alfa Romeo is going to be bought. Sauber is the big corporation, mm-hmm. the money behind Alfa Romeo that's going to be bought out by Audi next or in the next regulation change. But AlphaTauri is that next, you know, next constructor that could be looking for, if the price is right, you know, they could be, see ya. So some other team can be there, you know, there's plenty of interest in other places as well, like, you know, in America.
Mm. Oh, true.
You know, the Andretti's really are looking to get
I know, around. I've heard that. I've read lots of little... So snippets about the Andretti's trying to get into Formula One.
You know, there's a room for another team too on the grid. Mm-hmm. You know, the grid has 12 places for cars, so mm-hmm. you've got a room for another team if you want to add another mm-hmm. team. But F1 has said they're committed for 10, but you know that could change.
Yeah,
but who knows?
Well, it'll be interesting few years to see what happens because this race is getting this F1 is just getting nothing but popular, especially in the United States. Yeah. And with the United States backing it, I mean, not to sound like egomaniacal or anything, but when the Americans are interested, things
well, I mean, F1
get
is,
different.
F1 is owned by an American, Liberty Media.
Exactly.
Is an American company.
So. Right. That just changes things sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
yeah, Logan Sargeant will have three home Grand Prix next year.
Home Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's some pressure, buddy.
Crazy.
That is some pressure,
that
bud.
Is, yeah.
Oh, three. That is so
three
nuts.
Three chances to do something.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, we have to go to Vegas.
I know.
or either one, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care. We just have to go
or
to one.
Or all three of them.
I know, let's just go to all three. No sweat.
But I do want to highlight the Alfa Romeo Aston Martin fight really quick.
Yeah.
Because I remember Sebastian Vettel, if he overtook Daniel Ricciardo in the last lap, that's $12 million difference in that fifth spot. So
God, that's crazy.
About that.
Or the sixth spot.
I think I mentioned on the last episode that I was curious to see if Aston Martin could catch him because I saw how close those points were and and you know Seb got those points so they tied 55 each.
Yeah, they tied
55
each.
And
Alfa Romeo gets
crazy.
Above them because I think they've had the best result. They've had the best grid result of fifth, I believe. So yeah, that's what happens. But I mean, Aston Martin making great strides in the last half of this season. I mean, they were consistently battling for that 9th, 10th, 8th spot all year, or not all year, but that second half of the year. So be curious to see what they do next year, technically, because I know they're building this massive campus in, I can't remember where, in England, but it'll be close to Red Bull's campus or Red Bull's technical place in Milton Keynes. So, you know, maybe we'll see Aston Martin. I know Lawrence Stroll has the 5-year plan to win the world championship. We're in year 3 of that plan right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
he's got some work to do.
We've got a little work to do there, bud. But, you know, there's some progress there that
yeah,
can be
definite
made,
progress.
Sure.
But yeah, he's got a little bit of grinding he's got to do.
Another veteran coming in. You got Alonso coming over. So.
That could be a game changer, honestly. Yeah.
We'll see.
Who knows?
They got to put it together for a whole season.
I will be interested to see how those two drive together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No.
That doesn't seem like a great fit for
Alonso
me, but
super hard headed.
I know.
That, so.
No, he was. I mean, Alonso was criticizing his teammate all year, but
I know.
Look where you're going, dude. Like you're going to Stroll Land.
I know.
Holly Jolly Lawrence Stroll Land.
I know. That's where I was like
kid.
I know.
Who's racing next to you? Who isn't? Hasn't been too bad the past couple races, but it's Lance Stroll, so you can clown him all you want for being a pay driver, but he scores points sometimes.
Well, he's better than Latifi that ever was, and so they're, you know, they had kind of the same argument there, but well, let's talk about our favorite moments.
Our favorite moments. Carlos Sainz for me.
Win
in Silverstone. Just the Silverstone race
just
in general.
Just move that burrito. Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. Starts
that
off.
Great race.
That's such a cool track, too.
Starts off with the crazy wreck that Guanyu Zhou had.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
nutty.
Man.
That was scary.
That was.
I forgot that that was in that race. Woo.
Remember, yeah, watching that was one of those.
Is that, and then that's when George Russell got out of his car, right, to check on him, and then that was a crazy thing, too.
Yeah, because Russell picked up a puncture from that.
Uh-huh.
And he technically, well, if you get out of your car, you can't really get back in.
Mm-hmm. But he got out for the right reasons, so that just tells you what he's mm-hmm. like.
But he could have, I don't know, I don't really remember what the regulations say, but he got help from another, from the marshals
mm-hmm.
that touched his car, then that means you're automatically out.
But he didn't ask for the help.
He didn't ask for the help. Yeah. So I think maybe they could have just, I don't know, wheeled it back to the garage. I don't, but he got out of his car, so I don't think that he really could have asked. Mm-hmm.
I know, that was crazy. But he showed his true colors, which I thought was, that's maybe more important.
Really good.
And it maybe affected him a little bit, but I don't know that it would have made a huge difference in the results at the end of the season. But my favorite moment of the year was Russell's first win in Sao Paulo. I've just liked watching him drive. As a personality, he's not my favorite, but he is slowly becoming my favorite driver. My personality favorite, obviously, is Pierre Gasly because I love him. But I don't know. I liked watching him on the podium, and I think it was very, very well deserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well worth his performance all year for being basically P5, P4, P3, literally all year.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, he deserves that win.
He did. Sure. Mm-hmm. He earned that.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment was Checo winning Monaco, you know, the crown jewel. And I love Checo. He's probably my favorite driver. So any race that Checo can win over Max, and just Max not winning, was pretty exciting. So
and in a great race like Monaco.
No, exactly.
That place is cool.
Monaco specifically, like, that whole weekend was super fun, and seeing Checo celebrate at the end, you could tell he was living it up. So.
Yeah, and that crash in qualifying too.
No, I know. That's what makes
that's
what makes that whole weekend a little interesting. But
spice adds a spice to it.
It does. It adds a spice. But no, that was fun seeing him jump in the pool at the end. It was a good time. So
didn't belly flop like Daniel Ricciardo.
I know.
But yeah, do your own thing, buddy.
Right. Yeah. Plus, Checo's just got a great. He's I don't know. He's very endearing. He's easy to like, really, really easy to like.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of like Danny Rick. He's just easy to like, you know.
Yep.
Fun guy.
Great to watch him. Magnussen got his first pole position. That was kind of fun.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a highlight for sure.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Yeah,
the scenes.
The Haas.
Finally.
But he was on pole for, 2 seconds?
Yeah. Of course, it was a sprint race, and it's passed by eight people.
Every time.
Oh, man. That's okay, though. He can claim that. You take that.
Yep, he's got a pole position.
Put that feather in his
belt.
Cap.
There's a stat that has been marked one for pole position. So it is permanent on his driver's seat.
Exactly, even if it was gone in 2 seconds. That's all right. Nick DeVries and his points in Monza, which was
really
kind of
excited
a big deal.
For Nick DeVries next year. Really excited.
Me too.
Crazy great performance in Monza.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty tough track to get down on your first try.
Mm-hmm.
In an F1 car, he gets like 48 hour notice that he's going to hop in a Williams. Cause I know in FP1, he was racing with, or doing the practice session with Aston Martin. And then he's like, hey man, Alex Albon's out. He's got appendicitis or something. Mm-hmm. You got to hop in this Williams car and drive it on Sunday. You good for that? And he's like, yep. And I'll give you points too.
I know. That was so cool.
That was fun. And he was battling all race. Like, it wasn't like it was,
he was battling Hamilton for part of the race.
He didn't get, nothing was handed to him that race, obviously. But no, he fought hard and he got those points, and it was super exciting for all of us, I think.
Yeah. Really good.
New
really
face. Good. It'll be something just fun to see what happens with somebody like that coming in. A lot of fire with him.
And yeah, he's been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah.
Cause he was F2 champion in 2020, 2019 or 2020. So he's been kind of waiting in the wings for this F1 seat to open up for quite a while. So finally gets his opportunity for next year, and I think he'll do just fine.
I don't know. It just kind of reminds me of George Russell.
I was just about to say that. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of parallel there for me. He could really, he could make something of this. It'll be fun to watch. How about Fernando Alonso taking pole in Canada? That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I know you were excited about that one, Nolan.
I was super excited about that. It was very fun. Wet weather. Gotta love a wet weather. Gotta love a wet weather qualifying. Oh. Gotta level wet
the
weather
best.
Qualifying. It's the best. I mean, you get beauties like Magnussen on pole position. When you get a wet weather qualifying, you get beauties like Fernando Alonso.
Well, this is experience, right? Like, I feel like do they have that edge if they're experienced drivers in the wet weather, or is it just luck?
Part of it is luck.
Yeah.
It's a mixture for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
And Callan, your moment?
My moment was Checo.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yep. Through goes Hamilton. But,
yeah. I was going to say, through goes Hamilton's right there with me. So we talked about Silverstone.
Yeah, that entire
race. Yep.
That race was, yeah, that entire race was awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of good moments.
And then
there.
It ends with Carlos Sainz getting on the podium. Shed a tear.
I really wish I could remember which race was which. I can't do that. I don't have that skill.
It's hard to, man.
My memory's not that good.
I mean, if I see the highlights, I know exactly which race it is, but I cannot cite them from race to race, from week to week. It's really tough for me. But, well, I think that is, you know,
any closing thoughts about 2022?
Just excited to see all the new faces. Hopefully a competitive year and a little more like 2021. Get something down to the wire. That'd be exciting.
I agree. For sure. I know Formula One has always been a little bit not like 2021. It's been more like 2022 in the past. So I'm with Cal, and I'm looking forward to seeing what all these new faces can do. And then just to have a little more competition at P1 or in the drivers for sure.
So. I'm looking forward to going to Vegas.
I know we're going to Vegas. Let's book our tickets. Yep. Let's do it. We can do this. Anyway, it was great to talk with you guys all season about 2022 Formula One, and looking really forward.
Man.
This is it. I can't believe it. We'll have to do a reunion show before
end of season one.
It won't be long though.
Nope.
It won't be long.
How many days is it?
94.
94 days. We can do it. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. That's one semester of college.
We should have Drive to Survive in a couple months here too.
Before
the next season starts. Yep. So
like late February when
that'll
give
us.
Hopefully it's better than last year though.
I know last year's was a little long.
Maybe it's just because we like paid attention.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Yep.
No, last year's just felt
a bit kind of.
Well, that's a wrap on Formula One 2022, and can't wait to see what happens in 2023. And go Formula One.
We're ending season one. All right.